Hey there, everybody. It's Pete Yost for the Unbuild It podcast. But before we get into the podcast, I want to let you know about two outstanding events that are coming up in our industry. They are both BS and Beer symposiums. The first one's going to be in Denver, Colorado, September 12th and 13th at the Blue Moon Brewing Company. And then the next one is in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 10th and 11th at the Lenny Boy Brewing Company. If you haven't been to these events, they're so much fun and so stocked with information because it's people that are at the top of the industry sharing what they've learned in the field. And it's what's better than combining that with really good beer. These are outgrowth events from the BS and Beer series and content on Green Building Advisor. But this is where you get to, you know, do it in person. It's absolutely outstanding. So do you have to remember all these details, which I'm going to repeat in a second? No, of course not, because you can go to bsandbeerkc.org and get all this information. But once again, if you're lucky enough to be in Denver, Colorado, September 12th and 13th at the Blue Moon Brewing Company, that's the first event. The second event, Charlotte, North Carolina, October 10th and 11th, Lenny Boy Brewing Company. That's a mouthful. But anyway, if you go to bsandbeerkc.org, all the information for any upcoming events is there for the BS and B series. Sure hope you can join the Unbuild It podcast there. And now, on to the podcast.
Hello, world. Steve Bazik from the Unbuild It podcast coming to you live. Well, not live, recorded.
Yeah. Live on tape.
Live recorded.
Live on tape. We were live at one point. And I have my good chuckling friend, Peter Yost.
Glad to be here.
And Jake.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. So today we're talking about, I wanted to use the term three cool tools, but Jake reminded me that we're probably going to talk about more than three. So we're just going to go around the table, I think, today, and we're going to talk about what we think are some pretty cool tools that make our positions in our professions more advantageous to ourselves and to the building community.
You said you're going to say handy dandy. You just
died.
Corny.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you started laughing at me and Jake snickered, I dropped the whole handy dandy thing. I have multiple roads in my mind that as I approach, sometimes I veer left, sometimes I veer right. Very rarely do I go straight. There's always a veer in there.
Okay.
So I veered right. So
do you want to give us one of your tools first so that we can understand what we're talking about?
Yeah. So the first one I'll talk about is SketchUp.
Ooh,
I love SketchUp. And now the interesting thing is that, and for those of you that don't understand what SketchUp is a 3D kind of interactive modeling tool where I can stretch, extrude, build models. And the beauty of it is it's kind of a multi-tool.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not like I don't go to SketchUp and say we build a model and then Lexi does the final rendering and voila, there we have photorealistic image of it. That is one of the things that we do. But I'll confess that, you know, occasionally I'll have a roof that's somewhat complex and I'm trying to draw the roof plan and I'm like, what does that corner look like where these roofs intersect? Mm. So I'll build a 3D model of it. But the beauty of SketchUp is I can take that 3D model and then with the click of a button, make it a 2D projection from straight above.
So you can sort of pull your roof plan from.
So I can see exactly what the lines are doing when I take it from a 3D to a 2D.
Yeah. You're going to have to show me how to do that on SketchUp after we're done with this.
That's not a problem. And, so it helps me there to help me understand what am I drawing in 2D. The other thing is when I build these real sketchy type models, is that it allows me to understand.
Does that mean poor quality?
Sketchy meaning like sketchy? Maybe I don't even put windows in and I don't put siding or corner boards, but I build the roof planes to see, okay, that dormer, I want it to go here, but is that too close to the valley? For reasons of water management.
Yeah, that's a key one.
Are these roof plans? Because I know I've heard you guys talk about, hey, when I get a set of drawings, first thing I look at is the roof plan and say, where does the water go? Well, as an architect, before I give you the roof plan, I build a 3D model of the roof and say, where does the water go? Mm-hmm. And am I getting myself into trouble?
Steve, can you tell me, so you, there's three things you can do. You can work in CAD, you can hand draw, and then you can work in SketchUp.
Yes.
When is there like a progression that you use? When
it's
you,
not linear. It's not. It's linear. All over the map. Yeah. Because there's times where like I have a quick idea of, say, a floor plan, and I'll jot down a series of lines on. I always have a pad of paper or some kind of scrap. Mm-hmm. My desk is a total mess because then I have to go and find.
I've seen it. You've seen his desk.
I have to go and find all of those scrap papers.
Yeah.
Looks like a filing cabinet threw up on it.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
that's pretty good.
I knew I drew that corner of that roof or eave line.
Yeah.
Where the hell is it? And then I have to find it. But I'll do that. But then I might do a quick sketch up of it, or I'll do it in 2D and say, okay, it fits. Now let me see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then I'll do it in 3D.
So when you're working in your CAD program, which is two dimensional, can you import that directly into SketchUp to translate into 3D model?
I can take 2D information, bring it into SketchUp, but it's always only 2D information.
Huh.
I have to then extrude it and create 3D information. Now there are programs like Revit, and people said, oh, and even Lexi says, why don't we move to Revit? Because I'm an old dog that can drive the AutoCAD race car.
Yeah.
And I don't want to learn how to drive a new race car.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. My four barrel 350 is doing just fine.
That new software ship has sailed.
I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, all of my, like if I showed you like where the information comes from, because one of the tools or one of the rules of the AutoCAD tool or any CAD tool is you should never draw something twice. Right. Like if I draw something, I should save it as a template and then use it if it's exactly the same thing.
Got it.
Right. So the beauty of SketchUp.
So in other words, every time you open CAD, there is a whole bunch of templates that are always down in the corner.
I have a template file that I would constantly update because I might draw something new, like a new symbol for hose bibs. And then I import it into my template file.
Yep.
And so when I open up my template file, now I have my hose bib symbol over there.
And you have all the way down to here's a couch, here's a love seat, here's a table.
So for example,
pool table.
You have the drawings over there for one of our latest projects. The door symbols on that, I probably drew 20 years ago.
Mm.
And they haven't changed.
I think it's one of the genius things of how I've seen you operate on CAD.
So when you build a SketchUp model, I, as a non-architect who doesn't have the SketchUp program, I can go and get a free reader, right? And then
used to be available, a free viewer. I don't think it's available anymore. You can download a 30-day trial, use it to view the CAD file, but then you're going to be at a loss.
Because I used to be able to get the reader file. You used to be able to
have a viewer
file. And that capability, I can walk through the building, right? I can sort of...
If you build the model for that, it's so here's how we operate. I never used to build much of an outside inside model. I would either build an exterior model or an interior model because I can build them really fast that way.
Yeah.
Both of my kids work for me. They hate the way I build models. Mm. I get every time I say, can you take this model and give me this? They're like, well, you didn't group this. You didn't like. I get the whole litany of everything that I didn't.
The old dog, not
the old dog. The just new dogs. Like, the new dogs on the. You know, they want to tell me
regularly, trying to tell him how to do things.
Yeah. Well, they've kind of given up on.
So we're each pretty tough on each other. I just want to say, I have tried to get Alexandra to dump on him. Like it must be really hard to work with your dad. She never says anything other than...
And they never will.
She doesn't break the fourth wall.
She does not break that wall.
Not.
And there's not a flicker in her eyes. You know, she's there because her dad does a really good job.
And I'll tell you what, she's probably the hardest of... And only because the other three don't listen. But you would break Nicole or Stevos before you broke her.
That's true.
That's good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. Well, she would go to her grave with...
Yeah, yeah. She is incredibly loyal.
Talk about my dad.
Yeah.
Okay, so we use SketchUp in-house as well. And the biggest benefit that we've found, because we're not doing the design or anything, it is literally just used as a communication tool. I realize that what you're doing is communication as well. The architecture
Well, we actually build, like, in any given project, I probably build 4 or 5 SketchUp models, right? Because I have a project right now that I'm thinking about that we're doing, and I built the model, and like, things might not be exactly 17 feet or 32 feet, the wall. But in the, and you've seen it when I'm sitting there with a client, I can say, well, we can do an 18 inch Eve line and I can stretch it, or we can do 24 inch and stretch it. We could take this window from 7 feet to 8 feet and I can stretch the window. So there's the kind of electronic clay model SketchUp that I put up. If you open it, like there's nothing there. It's only a model that I push and pull. Because I might have an idea. Oh, wow. What if we made that 2 foot longer? How does that look? Boom. I open up the model, stretch it 2 feet and go, nah, that's 2 feet's too far. And let's not do that. Maybe I pull this wall out a foot and I do that. Okay, that works. And then I go back to the CAD and I solve some other problems. So there's all of this moving around. But at some point we say, yes, that is what we like. That's what we're going to build. Then I turn that over to Lexi or Stevos. They build the real model because they'll build the inside and outside, right. And
they'll group things
and they'll group, crap. They'll do all their stuff. But they're also preparing it for another program called Lumion. So Lumion is the one that interprets the SketchUp model, applies sky, lighting, reflection, all of that material science to all of the pieces.
So let me ask you this, the set of plans that are on the desk back here that are you and Jake working together. Have you supplied him with a SketchUp model that corresponds to that?
He's seen the models, but he doesn't have
them. But does he always say, hey, Steve, once you give me the full set of those, I absolutely insist upon the 3D SketchUp
model. He's never said that, but I would give him, I'm not free to give them out to everybody, but I would give them.
So this is how you use SketchUp with your builder. What about with your client? How much do you use the SketchUp model with them?
I've had some clients that said, listen, I'm going to buy SketchUp. Can you send me the model? So I can play with it. I mean,
because I would think that.
And Steve's like, oh, God.
That's a double-edged sword. Yes.
Well, but what I'm thinking is if you sometimes need to go to a 3D model to understand exactly roof planes, imagine your poor clients that are looking at your plans saying, I wonder what the hell this looks like.
Yeah. And there is a lot of trust in the because we can't open up meeting one with a 3D model, photorealistic images. Like, you have to trust me and say, listen, just answer the questions that I'm asking.
Yeah, but plus they can go to your website and look at projects you've done to get a sense of your aesthetic.
But also, like, the beauty of SketchUp is it's scalable to kind of anything that I want to show. So if I'm talking to a client and say, hey, this is the head detail on a door, I can just do a real quick up SketchUp mockup.
So like,
I can build anything in SketchUp if you can build it in real life.
The cool thing about this is we've only talked about one tool so far, but it's one that we use with four. You use it as an architect. I use it as a enclosure review.
What's interesting is if I built a mass model, you can click on it and you can get the volumetric properties of the SketchUp model.
Wow. Because calculating the volume of buildings for ACH 50 is a
start. Give me that, please.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Well, it's only as good as the information that's inputted. Man. So when
it's
you say
better than I'm going to do,
I understand that. But the question is things like, well, what is the volume? Is it inside the foundation wall or outside the foundation wall? Is it outside the rafter or inside the rafter?
Sure. If all I have to do is give you that piece of information and you give me something that's plus or minus 10%, I'm happy.
Yes.
So it's the architect to use. Of the tool, it's an enclosure who's doing continuity of
lower door information,
builder, and your client. I mean, how many tools do you have that all four use?
We use it for stuff like tile layout. Like, you're not going to bother drawing the tile layout unless it's incredibly important to the client.
Yeah, if it's very expensive.
Once we have that selection, we'll draw tile layout so the tile guys know exactly what to do. Or the other day, I used it to draw the board that we have in our Columbia office that we use for holding the permit so that the Kansas City office could build one that's the same as the one that we have. But the one that we have was 45 minutes from the office. So I was like, I'll just draw it real quick. It took me five minutes.
No, the beauty of SketchUp is I can replicate life. If we can build it, I can draw it in SketchUp.
Okay. So it looks like we're only going to have time for one each. Pete, do you want to go next or do you want me to go next?
I'll go next because I feel like I'm being totally predictable and I can't upstage a SketchUp at all. But the web soil survey, which is
dork. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's my handy tool
in part because I pretty much use it on every project that I work on. And as soon as I get the address of the property, I can use that to go into an online US map that will, with the address, show me exactly what the soils are all around that property. And then,
and how do they get that information in the first place?
If it's the US Department of Agriculture's website, and there's, if you type into your browser, web soil survey, it, the first thing that'll pop up is going to the web soil survey page. And then on that homepage, click use the tool, and then go down to address, type in your address. And then you, now there are an awful lot of fields, you know, because it's for agronomists or people who are doing soil science, but there's a pathway through where you can get to soil profiles. And in there, you'll find restrictive layers, which are key to understanding how water moves on the site, depth to water table. And then the third thing I always pull up is the hydrologic soil group, which is a A, B, C, D way of assessing from a water perspective, how would you grade the soil? A being the best and D being you probably ought to build someplace else.
You probably just used like 10 phrases that like I could attach $1,000 to. Like well, billing, right? Oh, yes. Well, we did a hydrologic soil survey.
And that we know included. That the water table is...
Well, that's what's cool is it's free information.
Web soil survey.
And it's pretty much by the 5-acre parcel that they've mapped this. So, you know, it's federal dollars spent well, in my opinion. And Jake and I were just talking about...
Says the representative from Vermont.
Formerly.
Sorry.
Formerly.
From New Hampshire.
But... Jake and I were just talking about how wandering our career paths. When I took soil science, I never dreamed I would be working on buildings or that my degree in soil science would have any benefit to being a good consultant. So you never know.
Wow.
And that's the dirt on the web soil survey.
Dirt, as he says.
I'll put a link to this device.
That'll be Pete's resource this week. The resource.
One of them. Well, I'm definitely going to link to SketchUp.
There you go.
This is going to be a kind of odd, but I'm going to say The Office.
Ooh.
Until 2 years ago, the office that Arrow Building... Well, let's back up a little bit. When I bought Arrow Building from my parents, I did my... our office manager, who was my mother at the time, she stayed on for a period of time before I was comfortable doing everything without her help. And for a year or two, our office was actually still at their house. It was a home-owned business, mom and pop shop, and we ran it. So like I drove 20 minutes to get to the office and then would, you know, go through my parents' garage door, just like I was there to visit on the weekend with my kids or something. Mm-hmm. And so I spent 2 years working out there. That was probably the right thing to do at the time because I didn't understand all the business side of stuff. And my mother had always been the bookkeeper and office manager for the business, and she taught me quite a bit. And then after that, we moved the office to the basement at our previous house. It was the most uncomfortable room in the house. It had the least amount of light. It was the room that I spent the most amount of time in besides my bedroom sleeping. And it really was just a place for me to use the computer. It was a desk and a file cabinet and a place to use the computer, and it was okay. It served its purpose for what we were doing at the time, and it matched our small team. But there were times, say, you know, 14, 15, 16, when I had a ton of employees, that if we wanted to have a company meeting, we had to discuss where it was going to happen, whether or not it was going to be a lunch that we all went someplace, whether or not we were going to try to all meet at one job site, so that we could discuss something, if we had to look at details together that was on the hood of a truck, those sorts of things. It was kind of a real pain in the rear, and it was all we ever knew, so I didn't realize that I was, you know, that it was something. And then 2 years ago when we finished, 2.5 years ago when we finished my personal house, we have 800 to 1,200 square feet, depending on how we use it. One person that sits full-time in the office with me, or nearly full-time, a project manager. And now we have an office manager that's starting. We have another project manager that's going to be here quite more often. We're already talking about turning our 4 foot by 9 foot table into a 4-person work table instead of a 2-person work table. If you could see it now, you'd go, there's no way you guys can fit on there.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to have someone sitting across from me that I can say, hey, what's going on with this? What are you doing? What does today look like? The ability for us to have a place where once a week we can join, you know, or we can join. That's not the right word. We convene.
Yeah.
Cohort. Yeah. We cohort. Once a week, we all meet here. We look at our 3-week look ahead board and we talk about what's coming up, who needs to do what the order of operations are going to be. If we have a new project, we can lay a set of plans out. We can put them on. We bought an enormous TV so that we could look at plans and details on the TV. Mm-hmm. We can pair the computer to it and we can look at everything together as a group. Or we can sit here and have lunch and it's not at a restaurant where we can sit here and talk for 2 hours if we need to about something. And I completely underestimated the value of the space. And
quality of the space. We're talking about the space that we're broadcasting
that
from,
we
right?
Record from,
yeah. And I love this space. I really like this office. And so I was going to ask, you designed the building, correct? Yeah. Did you use a SketchUp model?
Yeah, we have SketchUp models.
Oh,
yeah.
So did you have a sense of this space? But you probably didn't know how really helpful it was going to be.
I had no idea. Yeah. And we designed it as a 2-bedroom apartment so that if we wanted to have it as a mother-in-law or something like that at some point. So it's two essentially bedrooms.
Yeah.
And off a bathroom, full bath, full kitchen, and then like living and dining, which
washer and dryer space. I mean, it really is sort of an efficiency unit, but
yeah. And it has 2 means of egress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea,
that's really cool.
The idea was it could be that if we needed it at some point.
I would have thought that if you had tried to do that, do a really high quality office space that could double as almost an accessory dwelling unit, I would say, no, you're not going to be able to do those both. But this is pretty remarkable.
And it's in my house. So there are quite a few people that would be like, well, do you bring clients there? Like having an employee that's kind of like, you know, our senior project manager in Columbia is kind of part of the family at this point. Having him over for dinner is not uncommon. He ate dinner with us last night.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to bother me to have clients here. And the clients come in the front door, right out the back door, 20 feet from it, and then across our back patio. Like it doesn't get any more personal than that. Yeah. Our relationship with our clients is that. If I wouldn't want them to come to my house, I don't think I would want to work with them. And it's nice to come here and have a refrigerator and say, do you want a glass of water or anything like that before we get started? To have a TV that has our portfolio going on it, that most of the times it's up, strikes conversation. To have, we have 25 extra large milk crates that have samples in them that when we're sitting here having a meeting about someone's house, I can turn around and grab 4 different things of flooring and go, is it more like this? Is it more like this? And more like this? Okay. If it's like that, then this is the place that we're going to go shop because they have more of that. Like,
interesting.
I never thought that it would be this way. And I'm certain that everybody that has an office that has put forth the effort to make use of that office does already see it that way.
Having designed this space, how do you feel about the way this turned out?
Yeah, it works just fine.
Yeah.
And there is, like you said, the benefit of, should he ever go to sell this house,
yep,
you can market it as it has a full functioning in-law apartment.
That's not a small achievement. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So Steve, you have one more.
Yeah.
You held back and didn't tell us.
Well, it's pretty interesting because, you know, you use the office and I told you guys when we started out that I had 2 tools and the second one would be somewhat of a surprise, in respect that it's a surprise, but that you would probably never guess what it is if I gave you 10 guesses. But for myself, and I believe this to be true of all architects need to use this tool, and it's probably one that is used the least in our profession, and I think it's probably one that is the most important in our profession.
It's not what I wrote down just now, then.
It's the field. Like, there is no better tool in my life than going out to the job site. I can sit in the office. I can draw things. I can come up with great ideas. I can do everything. I can be an egotistical architect and think that I know exactly what that detail looks like and I don't have to go out in the field or
how it translates
to that space, but I'm here to tell you there is no substitute for going out into the field.
There's real world hands-on experience.
I get to verify everything that I've done.
And if you go while the framers are there, or while the carpenters are there,
I get to learn. You get to
hear it too.
I get to verify with them. I get to learn. I get to promote discussion. It just, everything about it is just, it's everything that I need. And it's the thing that's rewarding for me as an architect is that, you know, you could sit there and I can draw something up, and I'll use an example that we're both familiar with, you know, the cantilever deck on the Hilltop Arrow House. Like, I drew it up, we sent it to the structural engineer. Kind of level one satisfaction was the structural engineer coming back saying, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
I was like, hot damn,
yeah,
that's cool. Level two is going out to Emmett's shop and seeing like the components laying there and uh-huh, kind of getting put together. Mm. But there is no substitute for being out on the job site and seeing the crane drop this down on the concrete piers and watching the four bolts get put together, mm-hmm, and then the straps pulled away and the deck sitting there.
What's kind of neat is that this is something we all use, right? So it's a tool that's critical to, it's critical to your work because you are in the field. Mm-hmm. But for me as a building consultant, but also testing materials, the field's just as important to me as it is to Steve. And I think it's one of the things that knits the three of us together is that if you don't know how it's going to work in the field, why are you talking about it? Right. It's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. I mean, everything converges there. That's the result of everything we do is the reaction is, can I do it in the field? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Does it work? Right. And that's true of, I don't care whether you're working on a doghouse or a skyscraper.
When I'm with you on projects, either one of you, it's where I learn the most because I don't build anything. I don't design anything. But when I'm with
Habit.
I was just going to continue on how much
he just criticizes everything about building. Yeah, you should have used.
All right, I'm done with this.
What's it look like in the model?
You're both tools.
You should have used more weather resistant barrier. You should have used more tape.
Do you think that tape's going to be self terminating?
Yeah, oh, but Jesus. But there is no like, and yeah. I'm. It's like if I look back at the evolution of just me installing a window to where I was 20 years ago and where I am now and just the things that we think about. And just last week, we were out there doing it again. And I had yet another revelation on, oh, if I just do this, I solved that problem. And
almost made you weep.
And it pretty much. But like just being out at the job site, that tool is you know, and I would love to take credit. And if anybody out there, I'm going to ask for help because I have yet to find it. I know I read it. I've actually went through all the books that I have and I can't remember, but Frank Lloyd Wright said to understand what needs to be done, you need to go out and see where it's done or something to that effect. But you need to go out to the work to see it get done. And There's some quote by Frank Lloyd Wright that
would be an amazing quote from him. The guy who, when the roof leaked over the dining room table, when the client called, he said, move the damn table. Yeah. That would be a remarkable thing for him to say.
Right. But he was a firm believer in that for you to understand what you're doing, there's only one way to understand what you're doing. If you sit in the office, and the thing that I totally don't understand is when you have offices and the principal goes out and says, oh, let's go out and check out the windows. And you always see like that person in a meeting, but they didn't bring the person that drafted the detail. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going out to the office, I probably rarely bring both of them, but I'll look over and say, hey, Stevos or Lexi, do one of you guys want to come with me?
Yeah.
And it might not even be something they drew. It's like, just come on out. I'm going out to talk to the concrete guy. Mm-hmm. And the general contractor about putting the stego wrap and how we're going to terminate it at the wall and blah, blah, blah. Why don't you just come out? Because you could get just so much information in that you could read stego's installation instructions 30 times and you're not going to get the same amount of information you get in that 5-minute conversation.
So I don't know if Steve remembers this or not. I agree with you so much on this that last year I tried to convince you to export a child that belongs to you to me to frame with us for the summer. And the response was, his mommy won't let him go. I tried real hard. I said, there's going to be no better education for this up and coming architect than to spend a summer wearing tool bags and understanding what he's asking people to do. Even if it's just the physical effort of what he's asking someone to do when he draws something.
But it is.
But mommy wouldn't let him come.
It's imperative as architects that we have to. We have to get out there. We have to see it. We have to stimulate the conversation with everybody. I don't understand what the fear is.
As I was going to say, many, there a lot of architects are frightened of
they probably how it will don't know the what field. The window installation looks like in 3D.
And I get that. It's pretty intimidating to go out to a job site and
anything you don't
agree. But here's the thing. One of my favorite things about using this tool, believe it or not, and I've only talked about going out and having meetings. I love going to the job sites with my dogs on a Saturday morning and just going and walking around. Mm-hmm. And I'll look at things like, did that window detail really work out as I intended? Does this living room space with the volume truss, is that what I felt? I can lie to a lot of people. I can stretch the truth. I can never lie to myself. Right. So as I walk through that house,
I do it all the time.
Well,
I've tried lying to you. It's not really productive.
But I lied to myself all the time.
Oh.
But you can't. So one of my favorite things to do is kind of, and the funny thing is like I can pinpoint a lot of times where, oh yeah, I remember staying up that was that late Friday night at 1 a.m. where I realized that we should have done this and not that and came up with that decision. So
good, it's a good tool to wrap up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But architects, before we wrap
please, architects,
just go out and have the conversation.
Join us.
Have the conversation. That's all it is. And you don't have to, like, the idea that architects have to have the answers is, I walk out into the framers and one of my first questions is like, did everything work out? And the second question is there any information that you didn't have that you should have had on the drawings? And, you know, because I can do whatever, but I can't do it if I don't know.
Yep.
What I should be doing. So, anyways.
Do we have a resource? Resource? It's just the...
It'll come.
The water table survey?
No.
Soil, well, water... Not water
I'm, table. I'm going to try to find Frank soil Lloyd Wright's quote.
Okay.
Yeah, please. I've Googled. I've read the books that I have on him. I've flipped through them looking for it, and I can't not find that quote.
You just retype it, and then the little dashy line, and then write Frank Lloyd Wright and give it to him on a piece of paper, and he'll believe you.
Yeah, that would be cool. But anyways, before I go, I'm going to play a word game with you.
Cool.
Right? The word is prison.
P-R-I-S-O-N.
Yes. Now, you might think it's just a word, but to some, it's the whole sentence.
I knew where that was going immediately. Goodness.
There you have it. Pure silence.
Stunned.
Pure silence. I love it.
I had no idea you were so funny.
Yeah.
And clever.
Really? We're applying the word funny all of a sudden.
Who knew? Funny how?
Yeah.
Funny how? Like, do I make you laugh? What? Funny how? Obviously, you've never seen Goodfellas.
What an amazing movie.
Obviously, you've never seen Goodfellas.
Have you never seen the movie Goodfellas?
I have to always ask my wife if I've seen a movie.
Rose!
Do you have a DVD player at your house?
I think so.
How about
I
mean, this?
I don't know where it is.
Can write it down. Make it a mission between now and the next time we record
podcasts. To ask my wife if I've seen
it. To verify that you've either watched Goodfellas or you need to.
Okay.
I would put it easily in the top 50 films ever made.
Yeah.
It's good. Not to say the two of you agreeing on a movie that is in your top 50, the chances of it being in my top 50.
Well, the fact that it's based on truths. Mm-hmm. Right. That every character in there had a real person attached to their character in life. The things that they did, they really did. The ruthlessness of Joe Pesci in the movie. Because I just watched like the biography on that. And they said that the guy that Pesci portrayed, like he's half as ruthless in the movie as he was in real life. Like, this guy just did not care.
So the scene in the movie, who knew we were going to end this talking about Goodfellas? The scene in the movie where they stop at Joe Pesci's mom's house to like get a shovel and stuff. And she like starts heating up leftovers and she brings out her most recent painting. And it's the two dogs in the fishing boat with the guy. I showed Goodfellas to my 16-year-old over the summer, last summer. And for Christmas, I got a copy of that painting. It's framed. I'm not sure where it wound up. It's not hanging yet. We framed it and it hasn't been hung yet. That's but it's awesome. Like, it's an ugly little painting. It's
two dogs. They're looking at each other. This one's going that way. This one's looking on the other way.
And I was like, what an intuitive kid that he saw that. And we both laughed at that painting. And then I got for Christmas a painting from a movie.
Well, there you have it. Goodfellas gets 5 stars from Jake and Steve. Peter has yet to figure out if he's ever watched it. Dementia is setting in. It's obvious.
I think we have our show title, too. Goodfellas Tools.
Goodfellas Tools.
Nice.
There we go. Nice. All right. Well, go ahead. Take us out.
Sincerely, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, give us that subscription. Give us the like. Give us that 5-star review. Help other people find us. Help the algorithm direct it to other people. We're here because you're here, and we like the fact that you're here. So thank you, and have a good day.
Goodbye. Bye for now.